Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14, and John 15, 1 through 8. From Jeremiah, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you'll call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you. It will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And then from John 15, the first eight verses, Jesus giving the disciples those pieces that he says they must know before he goes, that last night with them. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. It'll be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to my disciples. Well, welcome to part two, week number two of our series, Way Too Much. We're springboarding off of Pastor Jared's signature line that God loves you just as you are, but way too much to let you stay that way. We're focusing on how that truth impacts various core areas of our lives, from our spiritual dimensions to our finances to our relationships to even our physical well-being. We'll culminate this conversation our last Sunday of the series as we challenge ourselves to a new and deeper dedication to opening ourselves up to what God's plans are for us, very uniquely, specifically for us in 2017, us as individual believers. And we'll be inviting folks to find a way, should they choose, to make a renewed commitment to that kind of living. We're going to offer the opportunity for baptism for those who've never been baptized, whether it be families with infants or adults. And for those who have been baptized, if you want to make a new commitment, we have a chance for you to remember your baptism, renewing your own vows that you made or were made on your behalf, saying, God, I want to renew myself in this relationship and be intentional in my living that you can make more of me than I could be on my own. Well, with all that, my assignment this morning is to talk about the spiritual dimension of our lives, leaving the other pieces to come behind that. So say good morning to Jesse. If you were here last week, you may remember meeting Jesse. He's a debonair, hip kind of guy. Last week, he was still sort of feeling the effects of all the excitement of New Year's Eve, still was quite fully kempt and had on some party dressing still, but he's changed. He's got his shirt tails tucked in, his ties up tight, and he's got something new on. Wearing this shiny red heart. Now, that's not for Valentine's Day, which is coming up soon, guys. That's a heads up for you. I don't want to see you in the drugstores on Valentine's Day trying to look for that last card that I need, because I wait to the last card. It's not for hypertension or high blood pressure. It's to talk about the spiritual aspects of our lives. And in that way, Jesse is like a lot of us as we deal with the spiritual aspects of our lives. How do we live intentionally to build that part of who we are? So what's this all about, and how do we get a hold of it? Well, this morning, I want to use three words to try to help us with that, and you may decide before we're done it's not a help at all. Those three words are holy, H-O-L-E-Y, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and holy, H-O-L-Y. I'll try to distinguish between each one as we talk about it in context. To see how we experience life, what God wants to make of our lives, and how that happens in our relationship with God. H-O-L-E-Y is talking about having holes in something. Swiss cheese is holy. H-O-L-E-Y. I have holes in my life, needs, failings, missing pieces. W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, means being fully invested or fully connected, being all in with someone or some cause. And holy, H-O-L-Y, is talking about that state within our relationship with God that we become more like God. The original meaning of that word, holy, means other. And if we are who we are, broken and holy, H-O-L-E-Y, God is totally other of us. And so he wants to make us like him and set us apart for an other special purpose. But he can only do that when we are ready to do that. So our goal is to move from being holy with holes to being invited and respond wholly to God, that he might set us apart for a holy purpose. Well, to try to get my finger on the pulse of what those words mean to real people, not just my own thinking in this place in my office where I write, I asked my Facebook friends, tell me which of these words connect with them and how they may seem to identify with them in their identities right now. Here are a few of the responses they gave. I got more than these, but here are a few of them. For the word holy, filled with holes. After I retired, I was holy, at a loss what to do to make a difference, still trying to find my way. Another said, I have lots of missing pieces and unanswered questions in my life. A third said, I'm trying to put a bunch of puzzle pieces back together again. And a fourth said, I feel like I'm walking through life right now on a piece of Swiss cheese. I walk on the smooth surface till I fall into one of the holes with demands on me as a wife, a mom, a volunteer. My chunk of cheese feels pretty holy right now, but I know the smoother surface is coming. For the word holy, being completely connected, committed, their responses were some of these. With a new purpose I have found in retirement. Interesting, I got several folks talking about their transitions into retirement. With a new person I've found in retirement, I'm feeling wholly invested, and I'm active in my church and my faith as well. Another said, I'm allowing God to wholly fill my thoughts. A third said, I'm wholly consumed with life right now, kids, work, and hobbies, so holiness sometimes gets put to the back burner. For the word holy as being set apart for a sacred purpose that God determines in our lives. One said, I sense clearly that God keeps me in his hands no matter what I face. Another said, I'm striving to be holy, but I'm a work in progress. A third said, our family is really working to listen to God's plan and not ours. We're feeling God's presence in our family. There's always some of your friends you just can't quite pin down. You know, you give them three options and they want option four, you know. A couple of them were these. I'm holy, H-O-L-E-Y, but I'm being patched to be whole and resting in God's holiness. And then there's finally this one. For me, the word holy, H-O-L-E-Y, is my life right now. But the word holy reminds me of guacamole. And if I think about that, it ruins my purpose of a healthy resolution, so I can't go anymore. So. A little bit of distraction going on there. So which word of these three resonates with you in your life right now? Which word would identify? Or maybe it's a combination of words. I mean, the truth is that on our own, in our own power, we are all holy with holes in our lives. We are imperfect. We are broken. We're missing something. But as we surrender ourselves to God and allow God to begin to work in our lives, as we commit ourselves completely to God, holy, God is at work then transforming us, as in His loving us way too much to leave us the way we are, transforming us, so He can set us apart to be holy for His special purpose. Now understand that if He's going to make us holy, we're not going to become perfect. There's still going to be the flaws in our characters. There's still going to be the lacks in our physical being. We're not perfect, but we are those who are completely given, who are being transformed to the point that we find our identity in God, and then He can set us apart for this purpose for which He has given us life and consecrate us to His purpose. So even with our warts and freckles, where we trip and stutter, we can be those who are being transformed and set apart for this purpose of God that is other than we would find on our own. So God's desire is to move us from being holy with holes to becoming holy set apart, and that happens as we wholly commit ourselves. Let's consider what those three words might mean in our real world lives. You know, that's not like Sunday morning. I mean our real world lives. When you go and you stop and you pick up a Starbucks and then go to work. Or you go to something else. And you're running from one thing to the next. Do you know what it means to be riddled with holes in your spiritual life? You try to be faithful. You try to be this image of what you put in your own mind that it means to be this special, holy, transformed creature in Christ. But you try, but you trip and you fall down. And when you fall down, you get dirty with whatever's down there. And sometimes, for some of us, if we're going to be honest, when we trip and we fall down, we just lay there for a while and almost wallow in it because we don't want to get up and try it again. And so then we feel like we're not worthy, and we come up broken even more so because of our sense of guilt and self-imposed exile from what God wants us to do. Have you ever felt that way? You're not alone. Even the disciple Peter felt that way. You remember that the disciple Peter, when Jesus was taken from the garden to be tried, Peter followed at a distance, waited in the courtyard, and as the others were in the courtyard, outed him, saying, "You're one of his disciples, not me." Three times he denied him. And he knew that he had denied him. He had failed and betrayed him. Peter was broken. After the trial came the execution, then came the resurrection, and Jesus met the disciples on the lake shore that morning with breakfast as they were coming in from fishing. And Peter comes in with all the rest, in fact, leads the way to begin with, and then realizing, I don't know what to do now, because last thing that happened with me and Jesus was that I denied him. I failed him. I fell down. I tripped and fell down, and I wallowed in the stuff that I was in. So Peter went off to a distance while the others ate around the fire. Jesus seeks him out. "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "Lord, you know I love you." "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, why do you keep asking this? I love you." "Peter, do you love me?" And not in Peter's words, but I can hear it in Peter's heart. "Lord, I can't prove that I love you, but I love you. Look at me broken." Why was Peter away from the fire? Because he didn't deserve to be there in his own mind. Ever felt like Peter? You trip and you fall down and you wallow in it while you're there. And you get up thinking, where do I go now? Because I'm not worthy of God. Why could God want me now? Sometimes we know we're holy, H-O-L-E-Y, in our lives. Do you know what it means to be fully committed, to be wholly invested in something? To where that your purpose and your identity are defined in that relationship, identified? Today's scripture in John 15 talks about that as Jesus talks to the disciples before he leaves the upper room to go to the garden and is arrested. And he says to them, as I go away, understand, this is crucial for you to know. I'm the vine. I'm the trunk. I'm that in the plant which brings up the nutrients and the water from the ground to feed and maintain you who are the branches. Your job is to produce fruit. That's true, but your job is to be connected to me, because without being connected to me, you can't produce fruit that matters. I'm the vine, you're the branches. And as long as you're connected to me, things are going well. But if you disconnect, you dry up. You can go through the motions, but nothing significant happens. You know, being connected to God is not easy for some of us. Not because we're afraid of commitment, although that's there for lots of people in lots of ways, but I think for some of us it's because we're so filled with the anticipation of being that person. God says, I want you to live this life and do this through me. And so we want to get up there and do it. And we get impatient and we get stuck because we want to go further, faster than he's showing us how. You know, in my life, one of the greatest inventions in the world was the rechargeable battery. Well, not the greatest invention, but I mean, well, it's pretty important in some places. I mean, before that, whenever I'd use an electric tool, I had to decide, you know, plan my work and bring my work to within the range of the power cord that I had, and I had to do that there, or I'd end up tripping, falling over myself with getting tangled up in the cords. Rechargeable battery, man, you stick that thing in the tool and you go out wherever you want to go. There's no limit to the range. No worry about cords to trip over or cut through. But then the battery would die, and my tool would become useless. And I'd go back to the power source, and I'd plug it in and sit and wait. I didn't like that. I didn't like sitting and waiting. Jesus says, don't unplug from me. Be wholly committed, wholly connected, because through me flows life for you. Let me empower you to do the work God has created you to do. That work, by the way, is that purpose for which he sets us apart, being holy and producing fruit in that relationship. Well, the third word, can you imagine the third word, holy, H-O-L-Y, as identifying you? I mean, we have a hesitation about that because I'm not holy. But when we see us set apart for God's special purpose, we can become holy. There's a catch in that, though. For me to become holy is that God has to find us willing to be totally connected to God, to settle with the cord that's plugged in. And being totally connected is not always fun or easy. It's restrictive and it hurts. It's God's desire for us and his way too much kind of love for us. But that changes the agenda from mine to God's agenda. A potter pulls off unnecessary pieces of clay as he's working or she's working on their project, shaping it with the hands, because that doesn't look like the masterpiece. A sculptor chisels away pieces of stone that don't look like what he has envisioned or she has envisioned for the finished product. God begins to take off pieces that don't serve and chisel away chunks that don't look like, that are hiding that finished project in our lives. I don't know much about welding, but I've talked with others who do, and some of you here have much experience in that, and I hope that I'm not saying something that's not true, but I've been told this by the welders. I've watched them as they've cut some of these huge plates of steel that are sometimes more than an inch thick with their torches, and I've watched them working, and they were telling all about what happens and how it works. And then they said, but the steel's got to be prepped. It's got to be clean, because you can go cutting down with one of the torches through this thick plate of steel and come to a patch of rust, and nothing happens. The torch won't cut it, because the rust has compromised the integrity of the surface of the steel. It has to be cleaned and sanded off, and then the torch moves right through. It occurs to me that part of our being wholly connected is that when God does his work to make us this one who can be transformed in his way too much kind of love to leave us the way we are, is to present to God our plates of steel. Everyone be called a man of steel, Scott? You know, the big S on the chest? Well, here's your chance. Our plates of steel, they've been prepped and cleaned, so they're ready for God to work. Well, how do we do that? This is a lot of talk about things from an upper view. How do we do that in our lives? Our goal here in this series is to talk about intentional living, things we can do to become more or let God carry out his plan for us. How do we do it? We spend an effort to intentionally find ourselves in God's presence every day. Now, God is always present around us, but I mean our awareness of God's presence every single day. We spend time in prayer, just talking to God, being with God. You want to use formal words? That's fine. If you want to sound like the preacher when the preacher prays in church, that's okay. You go into the bathroom where the acoustics are just right and you say, "Dear God." Or just talk and listen. Just being aware that God is there. And for many people, momentary prayers, prayers in the moment, prayers that I would call breath prayers, some call arrow prayers, are very effective. I find myself doing that very often. If I'm walking into a hospital room or a funeral home or a retirement center or anywhere else, I will almost always catch myself saying, "Lord, give me the eyes to see you, the ears to hear you, and the eyes and the ears to watch these folks and understand their need, and use me." Chances are, if I know we're going to sit down together, you and I, some kind of an appointment that we've put together, I'll do one of those prayers before we meet that day. Because I know that I can put my foot in my mouth pretty quick, or get focused on my own agenda and not on God's. So God, give me the words to say. Those breath prayers, those momentary arrow kinds of prayers. We can be intentionally acting every single day as we spend time in God's presence. Prayer time, yes. Reading our Bibles every day. I mean, if you're not used to doing that, it seems difficult or awkward to you, just start with one chapter a day. If that's too much, start with one story in a chapter, or just even two or three verses. Start somewhere. Make a plan to do it, hook to something else on a regular basis. You got to eat. If you eat breakfast, sit down and make sure you read 3 to 5 verses every time you eat breakfast. Spend a little bit of time in God's presence in Scripture every day. Here's one that I think is important. It's worked for me when I do it right. Spend a little bit of time in the morning just to reflect and take your calendar with you or to-do lists. Anybody have to-do lists? Yeah. Some are formal, some aren't, but you know you got them, you're always ticking them off. Usually you write them about 3 in the morning, you know, when you wake up and you worry. Take those into this time and say, God, here's what I think I have to do today. What do you think? And let God begin to sort of shape it. And then at the end of the day, take 3 minutes and look over what you've done that day and say, even with your list again maybe, say, God, how'd I do? It's being aware of and intentional and trying to put ourselves into God's very presence. Because it's in his presence that we're connected. It's in his presence that the life flows. It's in his presence that fruit is produced that blesses and glorifies God. And the last piece I would say as far as intentional working about the spiritual aspects of our lives, spend some time throughout the year in Bible study. Finding a group, a small group, an ongoing or a short-term study, Bible study, a Christian themes study, and hear somebody else's perspective and work together on a regular basis. We have a bunch of variety of things like that here, and there are others that people like you are involved in. I'm going to be, during Lent, leading a 5-week Bible study during the season of Lent, trying to focus on how to live a just life in an unjust world. Invite you to be part of that on Wednesday nights. You'll find out more about that later on as we move forward to that. And would invite you to be a part of that time together. The point is, God has a plan for us. In 2017, we can open ourselves up for God to reveal and begin to put that plan fully in place. You know, one of the popular verses you see all over Facebook and everywhere else, is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, not for your harm, but for your good. It's a wonderful thought. But I would say if you just read that by itself, you're missing the larger point. Take it from verse 10 through verse 14. He's speaking it to a people who are in exile, lost, broken, holy, H-O-L-E-Y. And he's saying, when this season of time is done, I'll bring you home. And I will fill in all the holes. And I will draw us back together as family. And I will then begin to transform you as you open yourselves to me. And when you pray, I will hear and I will listen and respond. I have a plan for you. Oh, it's not all done yet. You can't handle it all right now, just one at a time, but here's my plan. And our job is to open ourselves up to it. Asking God to move us from being holy to being holy. As we're willing to give ourselves wholly to it.